Let's say you're physically fit, but would you make it in the world of extreme sports? Reporter Stephanie Jackenthal thought she could. She decided to enter the Mile 7 Outdoor Quest in Malaysia, a race where athletes run, bike, kayak, jump, and swim over hundreds of miles and several days. Her story begins atop Mount Kinabalu, the highest peak in Southeast Asia.
When you're standing on a peak 13,000 feet above the ground, it's a pretty barren place. There are no birds, no trees, and nothing's green. There's smooth rock underfoot with jagged edges. Only the gray peaks of smaller mountains in the distance break up miles and miles of infinite cold sky. And sometimes the clouds seem close enough to touch. We were high above the sweaty Borneo jungle, and on this, the final day of the race, we were heading for the 300-foot rappel off of Kinabalu's blustery peak. It was the moment I had been dreading.
Holy cow, we are so high up.
How do you get to the top of Mount Kinabalu? It takes 3 hair-raising days, starting on the white beaches of Pulau Salog, an uninhabited island off the coast of Malaysia's capital. When we were there, the air was stifling hot by 6:15 in the morning. My teammates, Darren Clark, Joe Glickman, Kip Kelch and I, danced a little on the searing sand, waiting for the race to begin. We were among 25 international teams vying for the $200,000 prize purse. It was big money in the adventure racing world and attracted the who's who of the sport.
I'm sorry I do not speak Bahasa Malay. So in English, I would officially like to welcome 25 teams from over 14 countries now. Welcome to Sabah. Welcome to Borneo. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the jungle. Here we go.
We were Team Inc., a group of fit and ambitious journalists with no chance of winning. Our goal was to have fun and finish. We trained hard, bought cool-looking gear, and felt ready. So we thought. We were off. Flailing arms smashed my head and feet as we dolphin dove in the bath warm water until it became deep enough to swim. A couple of minutes later, I was in a plastic kayak with my partner Darren, and we were heading toward another deserted island. After an hour of hand-blistering paddling under the simmering sun, we reached an island that Tarzan and Jane would have gladly called home. We were in 10th place and psyched. Next up was a nightmarish run through the swampy jungle that was as hot as a pizza oven, with muddy trails that looked and felt like goo. Our speedy pace slowed, and 2 teams zipped past us. Then 3, 4, and 5 more. That's when it all went to hell. It was just too hot.
I can't keep my heart rate down. When I exert myself, my heart rate gets real racy and I can't really recover like you normally do.
That's my teammate, Joe. All 6'4" and 200 pounds of him was crumpled over his legs like a Raggedy Andy doll. After only 4 hours of competition, it looked like our race might be over. Darren, a former Australian national kayaker, hooked Joe up to a 3-foot bungee cord and, like a tow horse, pulled Joe behind him.
So you've just got to hook him up, drag him along, even though he's moaning behind you. He's just got to sort of shut all that out. That's all you can do.
Our day continued with an 80-foot rappel over the ocean, rock hopping along the coastline, 4 more kayaks, an inline skate, and a 10K beach run to the finish. I was hot, tired, sunburned, and hungry, and felt like I had been run over by a dump truck, but I couldn't stop smiling. We made the cutoff by a slim 20 minutes, and I had just spent a spectacular day seeing the guts of the jungle. Back at the hotel, we showered, ate like sumo wrestlers, and packed for the next day. Upon crawling into my bed, I passed out to the sound of steel drums in the distance.
Thank you.
Joe wasn't feeling much better the next day.
Kind of sore abs from cramping yesterday, just basically a mess.
Day two began with a downhill run on a steep, potholed road that looked more like an abandoned ski jump than anything a car could handle. Joe wasn't alone in his suffering. About halfway down, a woman on Finnish Team Tenson tripped and fell, ripping the ligaments in her ankle. She was at the hospital by the time we were slogging back up the 8-kilometer road to reach the bike transition. From there, we had two runs, another bike ride, and a river kayak to the finish. Then back to the hotel. We may have roughed it each day, but nights were spent at a full-on oceanside resort. 3 pools, 5 bars, and each room sporting a water view. It was paradise. Day 3.
We're on the mountain bike section of day 3, and we're just riding past some stilted villages that are wedged in between rice paddies. We're heading over a little wooden bridge right now. Oh my God, we're heading up, 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 and it's hazy, but the sun is scorching down. Oh my God, we're just dwarfed. We're riding through a cavern of hanging flora, greenery, and every corner reveals a new little world. This is indeed the beauty of this sport. You get to see these really cool places from the inside out.
Later, I was grateful for the shot of anti-nausea medicine I had gotten to combat the chop of the China Sea that slammed into our kayak. Then we clipped into a wire line and zipped across a rushing river before running to the finish. 2 more teams had dropped out due to injury, pushing us into 19th place. We were excited to crack the top 20 and still be in the game. But tomorrow was the dreaded rappel off of Mount Kinabalu. Just me, a rope, and a 300-foot drop. Day 4. I had a terrible night's sleep anticipating the rappel and was actually relieved when the alarm rang at 1:30 a.m.
We were loaded onto buses at 2:45. To make our way up to Mount Kinabalu, 2-hour drive. My quads feel as though I've been climbing stairs for 100 hours.
It was still dark at 5:30 when we reached the 6,000-foot base of Mount Kinabalu and started hiking up to the 13,000-foot summit. The cool alpine air felt refreshing as I followed the string of headlamps along the slick, rocky path. After 3.5 hours of huffing and puffing through the thin air, we reached the granite ledge below the rappel site. I stepped into my harness and cinched the buckle until it fit as snugly as my old Vidal Sassoon jeans. Then we set toward the rappel site at the top of the peak.
Oh my God, we are at the top of the mountain and going.
We shimmied around the exposed corner that jutted over the 300-foot sheer drop.
Whew, stepping around the corner. Whoa. We are so high up, I can't even tell you.
Mind you, rappelling 300 feet is like jumping off Big Ben.
Okay.
I felt like Spider-Man springing back and forth across the rutted rock face.
Oh, God, I could hear people getting closer. Oh, my God, that was exciting. And scary and everything all at once.
As we ran down to the bottom of the mountain, I still felt like I was on top of the world. I basked in the buzz. The race ended with a muddy mountain bike and a river kayak. We were scraped, sunburned, stinking and sweaty, but bursting with excitement that we finished in 19th place. My hands were blistered and my feet were swollen to 3 times their normal size. Joe was limping. Kip's nose and lips were raw with sunburn. And Darren, our workhorse, looked like Seabiscuit gone lame. But I was already planning my next race. For NPR News, I'm Stephanie Jackenthal.